Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Cruise Control. You're with your hosts, Jake Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to our people.
Hey, people. How are you guys doing today? Welcome back to another great show. We're ready to entertain you, and I hope you guys are ready to be entertained. So, Jay, what we got for today?
So, we got a couple good topics we're going to be talking about today. The topics for today are, we're going to be talking about a kid who tracked his phone and unfortunately a floating city on the water. And last thing is going to be Stephen Hawking. Does he believe in aliens, and what does he think will happen if they do exist? So first off, let's start with the 18-year-old kid that tracked his phone. Now, I have a bunch of friends that do this, and I know people that do this, that when they lose their phones, they tend to track it to see who has it or where it's located. I'm sure a lot of people do it. Me, personally, I've never thought it was a good idea. I've always thought something like this would happen. But unfortunately, an 18-year-old kid misplaced his phone, tracked it, and it cost him his life pretty much. So, Jeremy Cook, 18, of Brampton, Ontario, he misplaced his cell phone. He tracked it through a mobile app using his sister's phone a week after he left his phone in a taxi cab. He traced his phone to a parking lot, and the app led him to three men in a car. The men tried to drive away, but Cook wanted his phone back, so desperately he held on to the driver's side of the car as the car drove by. But after a few minutes of him holding on, the driver shot him, and he was shot multiple times. London police found his body near a local mall, and the attackers fled and abandoned the car nearby with Cook's phone near the car. So they left the phone, they left the car, and they left his body near a mall. What do you think about that?
Well, just in terms of tracking your phone, I do think it's a good idea. Like, what if you lose it or something? But, like, if you notice that it was stolen, let's say you track it down and you see, and you come to the conclusion that it was stolen by a couple people, don't go, like trying to get it back from them. That's just going to lead to trouble. I mean, if you do figure out that someone stole it, I don't know, I would recommend either just taking the loss and getting a new phone, or contacting the authorities and seeing what they can do for you. Other than that, I mean, maybe you left it somewhere, you find it, yay, you found the phone. But if it turns out it was taken by someone, those are the only two options, I think. I don't think you should confront them, because I think that's just a recipe for disaster. Now, I feel bad for this kid. I mean, I do. Like you said, we have a couple friends that do this, and we know some people that have done this. And this is not the first story like this that I've heard. I mean, when are people going to realize that you can't, like, not everyone is very welcoming? I mean, there are people that, even for a phone, will go ahead and shoot you for it. I mean, so I feel bad for him, but I don't think he should have put himself in that situation. Not that it's called for to shoot someone for a phone, but this story is something else, you know?
Exactly. Not to go off topic, but I've seen so many instances like this or along the lines of in the internet. You know, I've heard people trying to get something from somebody off of eBay or Craigslist and end up getting shot when the two people meet up. Or track the phone and get shot for tracking the phone because you just mess with the wrong people, or you think you can go over there, punk someone, get your phone back, when you could have just gone to a store if you had, the warranty and got a new phone or whatnot, or just spend the money to get a new phone. I don't think you should put your life in danger for a couple $100 phone when you could, just save some money if you don't have it or, have a warranty. Take time to get the warranty when you first purchase the phone. That way you can get another phone if you lose it. I mean, there's so many other options you can do. Now, of course, there are people you can Why don't you try calling your phone if someone picks up? See if you can meet at a mutual location or something along those lines. Get your phone, because there are some nice people in the world. I'm not saying everybody is evil, but, I mean, these are things that you have to think about and, you know, expect at certain points, because a lot of these things happen, especially nowadays. It's just gotten worse. And the murder of this for this kid, for instance, took place on June 14th, and officers claim that, for them, this was the first case of extreme violence originating from the loss of a cell phone. But that's in his area, and I hear about this all over the world. They tried tracking down the culprit. They think they have one of the assailant's names, so they the police anyways tried looking on his online profile, but they found two fake locations on his Facebook profile when they tried looking for him. So, I mean, the police are trying to investigate and get a hold of the assailant, but things like this happen all the time, and this is just another sad example. And I don't think kids especially think about what can happen. I don't know if he thought he was going to go over there, meet someone nice who would be willing to give his phone back, or if he thought he would go over there and try to, you know, through violence, get his belongings back. But you shouldn't put your life in danger. And I just think this is a lesson a lot of, especially kids, should learn.
I don't want it to seem like we're putting the blame on him, because it's not his fault. It was his phone, and he just went to go looking for it. But, you know, he has to take some responsibility for putting himself in that situation. But to me, it's all the person that shot him's fault. So why resort to violence in the end anyway? This just goes to look at the world we're living in nowadays. That's such a reckless situation. I mean, it's just a $200 phone. I mean, it's not a huge deal. But this is the type of things we see nowadays. For a $200 phone, someone gets shot. I really hope that things like this don't happen in the future, but I guess we just have to try our best to not let it happen.
Exactly. And, I mean, to kill someone over, a $200 phone, it's pretty incredible what this world is coming to. But I'm sure he'll be remembered by his friends and family, and, you know, they're all mourning his loss. But let's move on to our next topic. We're going to be talking about a floating city. This is pretty incredible. Now, I mean, we've all probably thought about floating anything in the water, like especially a city. That just, in my mind, is pretty dope, because we read these books or you see these futuristic movies about these floating islands or floating cities that can just, people live on it, and it's, you know, based on the water. In my mind, that's just so cool. And I just feel like that's so futuristic, right? But apparently a French architect is designing a floating city for scientists. So it's not for everyone, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, something like that, you see in, like, Waterworld, like an old movie like that, or that's probably a couple hundred years down the line. We're not going to have any floating cities on the water anytime in our lifetime. Wrong. Apparently now, this French architect is creating it. Sign me up, because I want to live there. I know, I think I came across that article that I'm referring to, and from what I hear, it's going to be pretty much like a city for professors and students and some people to work there, which is pretty cool. And I just can't wait to see the finished product. Maybe take, like, get to see some pictures of it, or, you know, I don't know, just take a tour if I'm lucky, head out there and be on the floating city, because I think that will continue to happen, and that won't be just one of its kind. I do think if it's successful, many more will come from it, which is pretty cool to me.
Exactly, and they're calling it the City of Marion, but I think this is awesome. It's the start of something new. It's the start of something great. For, like, whatever reason, just think of it like this. If the continent or the land sinks underwater, like Atlantis, for whatever reason, you know, just based on the story or whatnot, if it sinks underwater, we can start living on floating cities that are built. It'd be pretty cool. And worst-case scenario, guys, like, of course, this isn't probably going to happen, but if anything ever happens like this in the future and the land, like, sinks underwater, you know, we can live on floating cities. Exactly. You know, it's pretty cool and it's pretty exciting. But it's a floating city, as for right now, the story that I read, it's a floating city built for marine research. So they're gonna. It is designed by French architect Jacques Rogerieri, I hope I said that right, to be an oceanic university city. So like my brother said, you know, designed for students and scientists and whatnot. It is 2,950 feet long as of the first design, and 1,650 foot wide, and based off the shape of a manta ray. That is pretty
manta
cool.
Ray.
Manta ray. I'm sorry. Manta ray. But it's based on that shape, and it looks pretty cool. I think everyone, if you guys take a look at a picture, would be super excited to see it and would think that it looks really, really cool. Right, Chris?
I'm sorry, I can't get over that. You're a dork. How you got manta ray wrong?
Moving
it's
on.
Only one of the most, it's only one of the most common, you know, fish in the sea.
Moving
so,
on.
Okay, moving on. I'm sorry. I was just stuck on that for a little bit. But getting back to this story, I mean, it's just this future stuff is pretty cool. I mean, it's just a matter of time before there are cities under the water like Atlantis. Shout out. Shout out to Poseidon. But or there's cities in the sky. So I think this is like a step towards that direction. And I can't wait to see if how this turns out and if in the future – if there are, like how I see it in my mind, if there are going to be, like, cities in the sky or cities under the water, because eventually, you know, with all this Industrial Revolution stuff, I mean, eventually I assume that they're going to go through a new frontier and build cities, like, elsewhere, not just on land, but in the sky and underwater. And I think this would be, like, a first step to that.
Exactly. And any like, step towards those type of things is, in my mind, like, mind-boggling, because from where, you know, I guess we started as a civilization or a people, you know, that was never in anyone's mind. So any step to, like, a floating city or in the sky or water or whatnot is really cool, and it just says to the genius of mankind of how far we continue to go and advance. But going back to this floating city, it is able to hold or house 7,000 people. It is designed to be completely sustainable by running off renewable marine energy and producing zero waste. So not only would it be floating on the water, it's also environmentally conscious, which I'm pretty sure is what they would want for researchers and marine biologists or anything like that. And the design showed that the upper deck is lined with wind turbines to keep it moving and keep it moving and sustained. On board are living quarters, classrooms, marine laboratories, and leisure spaces. So it pretty much is like a community. They're trying to have everything on there. There is a lagoon in the back of the vessel, so you can just swim in it instead of having to dive in the ocean, obviously, because no one would want to do that. And it would act as the main base for Sea Orbiter, Rogerieri's mobile research vessel. So to go out in the ocean and research everything, it acts as the main base. So it's pretty much like home to a pod, in a sense.
I'm sure for those who don't work in the city, driving there must be a hassle. I mean, can you imagine? You're like, yeah, honey, I'm going to work today. Shh, you know, you're taking your little trip. You got to go by car, by boat, maybe by a little plane just to get over to a city of water. They're like, I don't think I want to work here anymore.
But the name City of Marians is roughly translates to City of Oceanites. So
don't
I
just ignore my joke.
Name, I'm sorry, it just wasn't funny.
I'm sure someone else found it funny.
Well, it's a fitting name, in my opinion, City of Oceanites, and I look forward to the finished product. And I just can't wait. And let's see how I just want to live to see how humankind advances and see the discoveries and the designs that are come out of our brain power and, you know, humankind, what they can come up with. But guys, that ends the half of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with our second half after our commercial break. So stay tuned.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana in 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome back, guys, from commercial break. You're listening to Cruise Control. Right now, you're with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to our people.
Hey, people, welcome back. We got a great second half for you, and I hope you guys liked the first half. Just to recap, we have a floating city on the water, and not only a floating city, but we had a sad tragedy of a boy who went looking for his phone and found something else. So, Jay, what we got next and what we got last for the group?
All right. I just want to ask, Chris, do you believe in aliens?
I believe in E.T. I believe in Predator. I believe in Alien. I believe, you know, Martians. All the movies I've seen, they're pretty good.
Yeah, you believe in them, right? So the little green men that come to Earth, you believe in them, right?
Because
world-renowned Cambridge physicist Stephen Hawking, he believes in aliens.
What? He does? And he's actually, you know, he's a lot smarter than a lot of us out here. So if he believes in it, I mean, we might as well take his word for it.
Exactly. One of the greatest minds in our lifetime believes in aliens. And what he actually said was, to my mathematical brain, the numbers alone make thinking about aliens perfectly rational. The real challenge is to work out what aliens might actually be like. So he does, in fact, believe in aliens, and he's probably already thought of it. Because, like he says, pretty much a mathematical certainty. But then he goes along to say that if aliens visit us, the outcome could be much like when Columbus landed in America, which didn't turn out well for the Native Americans. Such advanced aliens would perhaps become nomads looking to conquer and colonize whatever planets they can reach. So he thinks they would probably wipe us out. He thinks they would colonize and dominate our planet. What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm not going to argue with him. I mean, through history, we've seen evidence of things like that happening. Great example is the one you gave with Columbus and everyone who discovered new land and the way they went about, I guess, seizing it. So I think it'll be similar to that. But I also believe that maybe aliens aren't the way we picture them. I mean, I'm sure they have alien plant life and alien, like, maybe micro aliens that are very tiny. I don't know necessarily believe that they're all going to be like little green men or giant monsters or weird-looking things like you see in the movies, like aliens and stuff. I think they're going to be all types. And maybe we do find some like that. Who knows? But, I mean, you never know. None of us have seen aliens, I don't think, unless you were abducted, Jay.
No, not me. But, I do believe that if aliens did ever come here, I believe they would colonize on our planet and pretty much decimate us. Because if you've seen, I mean, you can't compare humankind with aliens, but if you've seen humankind, pretty much all the people want power, people want things they can't have. So if you haven't noticed, we've always tried to take and gain more power throughout our entire existence or our entire lifetime. So, I mean, why wouldn't another species or a race not do so? I mean, if they came here, they would be coming for resources, so they would just, or slaves or whatnot, or just to come and take everything that we have here. So, like Stephen King thinks, Stephen Hawking, he believes that our destiny as a species is also out there in the stars. Pretty much what he means is, I think the survival of the human race will depend on its ability to find homes elsewhere in the universe, because there's an increasing risk that a disaster will destroy Earth. I therefore want to raise public awareness about the importance of spaceflight. I have learned not to look too far ahead, but to concentrate on the present. I have so much more I want to do. So he also goes on to state that not only aliens could be a problem, which he does believe they exist, there has to be mathematically another life form out there besides us, but he also believes that this planet is pretty much on a clock, that it could be a disaster that causes the extinction of the human race or the extinction of Earth, and we just have to find another planet to live on, not just Earth. So we need to look elsewhere in our universe and other planets to see if they're inhabitable. Like in one of our other topics that we talked about in one of our other shows is that Mars had water on it. So that was the first step to saying if Mars is inhabitable. So if that, you know, goes in the right direction, then Stephen Hawking can look to the future, in my opinion, and say there's another planet besides Earth that's habitable, you know?
Yeah, I just think, I mean, with Stephen Hawking's theory, yeah, of course. I mean, mankind has been looking towards the unknown and towards the future forever now. I mean, how else would we have all the advances in science and architecture and history and art that we've had? I mean, well, and there's evidence to prove that the world is deteriorating, or that there, where there's at least equations of when the world will come to an end or what's going to cause it, global warming, you know, anything. If there's so many things, I wouldn't even be able to name them all to you. But, I mean, the dinosaurs went extinct because, so why not the human race at some point, right? So, I mean, I guess it's only natural to look for a way for self-preservation and a way to advance to the human culture.
Either that or we learn to evolve.
Exactly. Like, maybe we'll evolve into people with superpowers. That would be so awesome.
Or maybe we evolve into aliens. You never know. Maybe we'll evolve into aliens, and then we'll people will see
maybe
us.
Maybe we're
aliens
already to the aliens.
Exactly.
I just blew my mind.
I like the way you're thinking. I know. I like the way you're thinking, bro.
Thank you. I like where my head's at, too.
But, of course, despite the dangers that Hawking presumably, you know, thinks about or talks about, whether it's aliens or the survival of the human race, trying to find the ability of new homes in the universe, he pretty much just donated or invested $100 million into Breakthrough, which is a project. It's a project which aims to use powerful radio telescopes to actively make calls to other galaxies. So he is actually trying to find other life forms out there. However, the scale of the distances traveled by the radio waves are so vast that it is unlikely any extraterrestrial life we do encounter could ever actually come and visit, or vice versa, us visit them. But it's important to know that they are trying to make a breakthrough and find extraterrestrial life out there and other life forms. So, you know, maybe one day, like I say, it's always, you know, frightening but also exciting to look at, to think about the future and think about the journey or the breakthroughs that we can uncover later on in the lifetime of humankind, you know?
Yeah, it'll be stop being real exciting if they come and wipe us out.
Yeah, that,
I've seen enough
that
movies,
would
know.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would be fun.
Yeah, the only part that would be fun is if they're friendly like E.T. and then we all get along and, you know, and then we advance our scientific, like, advances or whatever and all of that good stuff. That would be cool. But anything else, I'm nay for science.
Exactly. I mean, if they come and say, we come in peace, then that would be pretty awesome. But I don't think everyone is like that. And maybe it'll be like Independence Day where we have to go to war with the aliens. You know, I'll be Will Smith flying in my plane trying to blow up the aliens. Then I get in their alien ship and blow up the mothership, and then I become the hero of the human world. Did you like my speech?
Exactly, yeah. It sounded just like Independence Day speech. You know, the one that the president gave? It was a good one. Sounded just
exactly,
like
you know. I would give hope to millions of people. Everyone listening out there. That is my destiny. No, I really do hope that I probably never see that in my lifetime because I'd be scared out of my mind. If aliens ever came here and they tried to, you know, destroy us or colonize us or whatever the case may be, take all our resources, I think I'd be freaking out, guys, just to be honest with you. So, I mean, hopefully that never happens, but I do get excited about hearing about the advances that we can, you know, hopefully strive towards and achieve.
Exactamundo. Hey, Jay.
Yeah, what's up, bro?
You want to hear a joke?
Sure.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange, you?
Orange, you glad I didn't say banana?
That is not a good joke. That is not
I
a
can't
good joke.
From now on,
just,
when we do the show, I'm just going to say things like, yep, I agree, yep, I disagree. That's it. That's all you're going to hear from me. You're not going to hear any jokes or any commentary because you messed this up. So, guys, if you're disappointed, it's because of Jonathan. So.
No, it's because, Chris, you tried to tell jokes. Now we're losing all our listeners. That's what happened. They're like, man, his jokes aren't funny. And then they're clicking us off. But, guys, we're excited to say, well, not excited, but it's pretty much the end of our show. So we hope you enjoyed all our topics that we spoke about. If you have any interesting ideas or any opinions on the matters that we talked about, feel free to message us on Facebook or Twitter. My Twitter is JayFilms. Chris, tell them your Twitter.
ChristianCrew66.
That's right. So if you feel free to comment on any of the topics we talked about, have an interesting discussion, let us know what you think, because, you know, we look forward to that. So we hope you enjoyed listening to our show as we enjoyed, you know, giving it. So we'll see you tomorrow, guys. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Later.
Later. Now shut up and drive.